I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour of Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fam.
That's the worst.
We were just going down memory lane. Dickard texted in saying, guys, if you need to pick me up for the end of football season, that we're 6 days away from Tiger kicking off his year.
Let's go.
What's the tournament? What's going on next weekend? Where are they playing?
Doral.
Torrey Pines. Farmers Insurance Open.
Then we get the waste management. Is he playing in the waste management?
No, he is not playing in the waste management. He'll play. Well,
that's
now
garbage.
The former, I don't know, the former LA Open, it's now the Genesis that they play at Riviera.
Yes.
He has taken over and serving as a host. That is now an invitational.
Ooh.
So he'll play in that one. So he'll play at Torrey Pines and he'll play at Riviera, his two West Coast swing stops. Golf show returns tomorrow morning.
Harold
is back. Ooh. 8 a.m.
Wait, you guys are paying Harold again?
Yeah.
Damn it.
He's still stealing money from this company. God.
He always holds that over me, too. He's like, you know I'm not even good and they pay me, right?
No wonder our negotiations were so tough this time around.
That's right.
They're giving Harold all the damn money.
We'll get our buddy Jeff Sanders on. He runs the tournament going on now. It's now the American Express. The former Bob Hope Desert Classic down there at La Quinta and Palm Desert.
I kind of assume our buddy Jeff Sanders runs everything in golf.
He's got four tournaments.
Yeah, honestly. He runs the show, man. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, we were just talking during the break about a golfer. I won't name names, but there was a golfer.
No, we can name him. Why can't we name him? He's not our, I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
This is a public story.
Yeah.
So one of our first years out at the tournament a couple years ago, we interviewed a golfer named Tommy Two Gloves Gainey.
Yeah, he got wrapped up in a little. He won the
opening
Corn Ferry tournament.
Swag's doing the same thing the media did.
He won right afterwards.
No, what really happened is he got caught in a prostitution sting and then he won the tournament.
Happens to the best of us.
But they have a video of him.
Oh, there's a, like in the act?
Like negotiating price and what he's aiming to get out of her.
Okay. The mugshot isn't great, but shout out to Tommy Two Gloves Gainey, friend of the show.
How close do you think we are to legalize prostitution?
I think he even hit a drive for us.
He did.
It was one of those, like, we played in the Media Day tournament out there when they were having it, the day before the tournament kicked off, and he was, like, the guy that hit the drive for you on one hole kind of thing.
He recognized us, too. He was a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He hit it, like, 320 yards.
He's got two gloves on, man.
Yeah.
How long until prostitution is legalized? I don't know the answer to that.
That's probably the next thing after marijuana, right?
That's the next
sports
battle.
Gambling, get that knocked
marijuana
out.
Marijuana and then prostitution.
Marijuana. Let's draw the line at black tar heroin.
Okay.
Let's stop at black tar heroin and we don't need to go there.
Can't have a slippery slope there. Okay, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Can I start with a question?
Pause it away.
Nobody's going to stop you if you do.
Are you guys interested at all in the fight tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm getting it. My brother's coming down. I want to watch it.
Okay, because it's McGregor's back, and he hasn't fought in a while, right?
No,
and he's going against the Cowboy.
The Cowboy, Cerrone.
Cerrone?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing for you?
No.
You're not into fighting, though, right? Unless it's like a big boxing match?
But I grew up on boxing.
Yeah.
But MMA just does nothing for me.
Yeah, because I'm not usually a big MMA guy, but there's some people that can pull me in, and I'm not going to lie. Like, I take the bait. McGregor's one of those guys.
I don't know how he isn't.
Like, it was like when Ronda Rousey was at her peak.
Yeah.
Like, she was just talking all that smack and beating everybody up, and then she finally lost, and it was like, all right, I'm kind of interested in how this is going to go. I'm there with McGregor, because when was the last time he fought in MMA fights?
It was when he got his butt kicked by Khabib. Khabib kicked his ass.
It was like 2-3 years ago, wasn't it? Because it wasn't that prior to the fight with Mayweather?
Yeah.
I thought he lost that fight and then went into the boxing thing.
God, I'll have to look up that order of that. I got it backwards in my head. But the interesting part about him is he hasn't been as...
he's not his normal self this
time. Yeah, he's not in your face the way he used to be. And he did an interview recently with the ESPN MMA guy. His name is escaping me, but he's really good.
Chael Sonnen?
No, Ariel...
I'm not going to know that name.
Anyways. Oh, the guy on ESPN, that's ESPN. Yeah. I know who you're talking
about. He is the MMA guy. Yeah. He is their Jeff Pass and their Woj for fighting.
Sure.
But he did an interview with him, and he basically said he hasn't been drinking. It's ruined it. He stopped drinking. And I think part of the stop drinking was the last incident he had was when he punched a guy in the face for not drinking his whiskey at a bar in somewhere in Ireland.
Yeah, he like
proper
broke some 12. Guy's face.
I've heard it's not that good.
Proper 12. I've heard it's terrible.
He's been getting dissed on the spirit sites.
Is it? Yeah.
No. I had a buddy that got it because he likes Irish whiskey, and he texts me, he goes, just had the McGregor whiskey. I go, how was it? He goes, give me Jameson.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking that swine. No, I don't know. I'm contemplating. What time's the fight start?
Usually like 6 or 7.
6 or 7, okay.
Oh, what is it? I think around, well, I think the undercard starts at 5, and he's going to go around 8 or something.
Okay, because I'm interested in it. And if you have any gambling tips on that, 55305.
Yeah, is Cowboy Cerrone, or where are we going on him?
Because I feel like when McGregor's in a fight, it's almost like when the Cowboys or the Yankees are in a game, like McGregor's going to get good odds just because of his name. And that there's slappies out there like me that will lay money on him because they know who he is and they don't know who the other guy is. So I'm imagining there's good value on the dude that he's fighting tomorrow.
By the way, Khabib was after Mayweather. It was in
2018.
According to the Oregon Lottery scoreboard, McGregor -325, Cerrone +265.
Shouldn't the Cowboy guy be the favorite here?
It's a pretty big fight for him too in his career.
Okay, well, give me some gambling advice on that.
Donald O'Connor.
That's his name, Donald. He's a Donald Cowboy.
He's a Donald Cowboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, gambling advice, welcome. I did want to get to this quickly. A couple other notes I want to get to here in the final hour as well. Kyler Murray, we all know, of course, having a pretty successful rookie season. I think we would label it that. And excited to see what he can do in year two in that offense and just kind of the, you know, Fitzgerald's coming back for another year. Well, he was recently doing an interview with the Arizona Republic. And for some reason, the question got brought up again about baseball. And he was asked, like, you know, have you thought about it? Do you miss it? What's your theory on it going forward? All that kind of stuff. He was asked if he could do both. And he said, quote, I think I could. Athletically, I think, yeah, I could do it. I've been playing both my whole life. I would love to do that and add it to my resume.
Stop.
He continued, I don't understand why in sports they try and marginalize it. They try and make you pick one, and I get it, but we'll see. I think it would be fun. Right now, though, I'm just focused on football. The A's still hold his rights. Is there any chance this happens?
No. An NFL quarterback. To me, it's not somebody going, we're marginalizing you as a human. It's simply saying, hey, dude, we might be investing $500 million into your life. Why don't you focus on us? And I get the baseball love. I don't buy this at all. He's going to do the Russell Wilson thing. He's going to go to spring training to his favorite team. He's going to be in the uniform. He's going to take ground balls at spring training, BP against the coach. And he'll get his baseball fix, and then he'll go back and he'll be the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. Like, unless you outright leave the NFL, this isn't happening. I respect this kid a lot. I think he's got his head on his shoulders. He handled some stuff pre-draft a little weirdly. He did some interviews.
He was a little strange.
He wouldn't answer questions. His dad was saying stuff. But I thought he handled himself really well this season. I saw a lot of his press conferences because I was always curious how quarterbacks in their first year handle losing. He handled himself with great composure. This isn't happening. You're going to make $300 million from the Cardinals. You're not playing baseball, too. It's not a company going, we're going to marginalize you as a human. It's, hey, dude, we're putting a lot of money in this. So we know you love baseball. Go do your spring training fix with getting it in and come right back to the facility and start studying tape. It's what the Seahawks allow Russell Wilson to do. It's why Russell Wilson is going to be an NFL quarterback for the next 8 years. I'm leaving to go be a Texas Ranger or a New York Yankee.
He just likes to flirt around with it.
He likes to flirt with it because he's really good. He's obviously a super talented baseball player. But you're an NFL quarterback. This isn't happening.
I have no skin in this game, and so my theory on it is I would love to see him try in the way that the Cardinals reacted to it. Like him officially coming out and showing up for spring training in Oakland next month and being like, let's go, and playing the first handful of months of the season before training camp starts in the NFL. That would be fascinating to see, but I tend to agree with you. It'll never happen. There you go. Okay, Kyler Murray wants to play both. Appreciate the feedback on the gambling notes for the UFC fight tomorrow.
What are they saying? Where are people going?
Somebody said, best advice I can give you, stay away from gambling on the UFC. By the way, somebody said his last name is pronounced Cerrone.
I know it's Cerrone. I just don't call him Cerrone. I'm sorry.
Okay, Cerrone.
Cerrone.
Okay. Somebody said McGregor's cook. Somebody said he's good value. Somebody said Cerrone is good but loses a lot and he gets hurt. Cut easy, etc. So McGregor should win.
Well,
so
I just don't know what...
all over the map, man.
McGregor says he's in great shape. Is he ready?
We are all over the map. I am excited. I might try and buy that tomorrow night. I want to get to a fun behind-the-scenes note for the NFC title game. So much interest in these games, of course, coming up on Sunday. One note that I did not realize, the connection between two coaches. We'll get to that a little bit. We'll spring the line coming up. Bottom of the hour, get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the Fan text line. Back after this on the Fan. Forgot to play it earlier. Had to get it here in the final hour. It's a Friday. Everybody's in a good mood. Get to the coaching note here in a moment. What happened to our teams last night, man? What the hell? Ducks and Beavs.
Well,
laying an egg up north.
I'd be more concerned. I'd be more upset if I was you.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned, me, because this. I want to know if there's going to be a point where they click. What are we getting, right? What is Oregon State getting out of this?
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad.
Yeah.
Snip, snap.
Then Trace leaves leaves this season. Then what next year?
Well, Ethan, Kyler Kelly's gone after this year, too.
Cool. He hasn't quite done what I wanted him to do this year either. So you lose those two players. Like, what is coming? I've talked to people at Oregon State, too, and I'm willing to be patient, but last night was very upsetting because they were largely down by 18 for most of that game. There's just not an excuse to not show up. Yeah, you know, it's one thing to lose a game. If they had lost at a buzzer or lost by five or something, yeah, okay.
Washington's a good team.
Show up. And they don't do it. They show up against Arizona, they won't show up against Arizona State. They'll probably show up against Washington State. They don't show up against Washington. You're not making the tournament doing that. And the only reason I sound like this is because even though Oregon State's not this hotbed of athletics, when you made the coaching change, it was largely because the entire fan base was up to here with Craig Robinson. And I get it. I'm not doing the CBI or whatever the hell it is. And then 2 years later, he did the CBI again. Nobody went to that game. And the AD at the time was Bob DeCarolis, basically said, I got to make a change. He made a change, brought in a guy. The Craig Robinson commit, Gary Payton the second, stayed committed to the program. Played 2 years, and in the second year, carried that team because they were really young, carried that team to a tournament. Since then, nothing. And it's funny to me, just as a guy who covered the Craig Robinson years and now is watching as a fan in the Wayne Tinkle era, it was Craig Robinson. It was, go make the tournament. Go make tournament. Not good enough. Go make tournament. Go make tournament. Wayne Tinkle, it's largely like, yeah, we're inconsistent. Yeah, maybe next year. Maybe next year. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And I don't get it. I just thought last night was inexcusable. You shouldn't be getting your ass kicked. You have an experienced team.
After you just dominated Arizona 2 at home.
You played well against Arizona. You can't play again like that against Washington?
It doesn't make any damn sense. And both of them are frustrating for different reasons. You know, for Oregon State, they need wins. They're trying to make the tournament. And everyone you drop like that is pretty critical when it comes to your standing and what you're going to have to do at the end of the year to get in. For Oregon, it's frustrating because they've just had a year so far this year where they're like the Seahawks of college basketball. They play to the level of their opponent in every single game, it feels like.
The big concern for the Ducks moving forward is if they have a cold night shooting threes.
Yeah, there's just no other
really
offense.
It's really difficult. Other than Peyton Pritchard, they don't seem to have a guy they can just throw it to who can get buckets.
Richardson can be it at times, but he's way too inconsistent. He'll go for 24 one night, and then he'll have 2 points in the next game. He'll no-show. He'll be a non-factor on offense. Yeah,
you guys are going to end up beating Washington this weekend.
Oh, Oregon's going to be fine in the long run, I think. They're
also
still
just landed
team.
A four-star point guard.
He's got a big, they got a big kid. Yeah, big point guard committed today. But, it's just those ones can be frustrating. By the way, did you see Gonzaga beat Santa Clara by 50?
Yes, we did.
Santa Clara and then the same since Steve Nash left.
104-54.
Well, Santa Clara was 15-3. But then when you break down their schedule,
played a lot of nobodies.
Well, they played a lot of home games. They're 14-0 at home.
They've played 14 home games.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 17 games. Are you kidding me?
Herb Sendek calling in some favors there.
Dear Lord.
For the Broncos.
Is that where Herb went?
Yeah, he's been with the Broncos. I think this is third season there now.
The WCC, Mark Few, Terry Porter, Herb Sendek, Lorenzo Romar. Is there anybody else?
Isn't Pacific in
Damon
there?
Damon Stoudemire.
Damon,
yeah.
Stoudemire.
Damon's in there.
Watch out for them come tournament time. They just bullied the Pilots around last night.
Okay.
And they got a wing, Jaleel Tripp, who's 6'5", 225, but can play point.
Ooh.
And okay. He pretty much... Pilots had no answer for him.
Yeah, no answer. There he goes. My college basketball talk. By the way, we have a poll question up at Dirt and Sprague that you can go vote on, courtesy of the one and only Kyle Knepper, friend of the show. And he was interested to know if people around here are more interested in men or women's college hoops right now. Well, because I'll say this. Like, last night, I didn't quite realize that the Oregon-Stanford game was going on ESPN in the ladies' side, and it was, like, number 6 versus number 3.
Yeah.
And Ionescu broke some record. Like, she had an incredible night, and everybody was tweeting about her and stuff. There were probably...
It was sold out.
The stadium was sold out, but I'm just... Like, my reaction to it was just on Twitter. There were far more people tweeting about the women's game than there were the men's game. And that's a program where both of them are ranked in the top 10.
Oregon, to me, is probably more even than you think. I see what you're saying, though, because when Oregon is hitting into the crapper in Pullman, I think it's easy for more people to turn the channel, watch the ladies win. By the way, not just win, dominate Stanford.
Yeah, Kobe and LeBron are tweeting about it.
And Ionescu is an amazing talent, a once-in-a-generation type player to come through the program. So there's a lot of intrigue, and I get it because they've regarded as like a top two team in the country. I think in Corvallis, it's... far different. I think it's a overwhelming support for the ladies who deserve it.
Yeah, one team's in the top five.
Versus, what am I getting with the men? Right. Oh, that's right. I'm getting splits or 0-2 trips.
Well,
great.
I think the other thing is Sabrina Ionescu is a brand. She's been there now 3 years, had Final Four runs. This is what's plaguing college basketball to get back to a status that one held with all the one and dones and then the transfer portal, guys transferring all over the place. Yeah. You're bringing in think about just for the Ducks this year, other than Peyton Pritchard, how many of their key players are from somewhere else or freshmen?
There's only two or three guys that are back from last year's team that played.
You can't ever build up the brands in men's college basketball the way you once could.
He gets that notoriety, too, for that reason, Peyton does.
He does. He's a four-year guy.
He's been there.
He's a great player, but, he's been there for so long that people are like, oh, let's talk about the seasoned senior who's really good in leading his team.
Well, he's been in a Final Four and a Sweet 16, too. He's gone on runs before.
Yeah.
There you go, low college hoops talk. I saw this story on ESPN. It was a really good one. I don't know if you guys were aware of this backstory, but Green Bay and San Francisco were playing this weekend. And did you know that Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur have long been together, that they started their coaching careers together as grad assistants at Central Michigan? They coached together for the Houston Texans, and that Matt LaFleur, Peter's brother, was the best man in his wedding.
I saw that,
Isn't that crazy?
It said, like, the best man standing between Saleh and LaFleur.
Well, I saw the picture, and I was like, you see a tiny little white guy, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Matt LaFleur. There he is. He's standing next to him. And you talk about two guys in the coaching profession, LaFleur getting the job. Was a bit of a shocker, I think, for people last year because he was in Tennessee and things didn't go very well in Tennessee last year. And you just didn't see like this creative offense that we all thought when they initially hired him. But nonetheless, he's still hired as the head coach in Green Bay and everybody doubted it. He wasn't going to get along with Rodgers. He ends up going 13-3 this year and he's in the NFC Championship game. And then you look at Saleh, and I know he's been passed over for some jobs, and everybody gave Cleveland a hard time for hiring Stefanski over him when he just dominated Stefanski's offense. I think that's a weird comparison because not all things are equal, but another up and coming coach in the NFL. It's crazy. Their roots started together way back in the day in college.
It's just last weekend, the two teams were really connected with off the field relationships, Minnesota and San Francisco. And this weekend, as you mentioned,
it just continues, man.
And that's kind of what the NFL is though. It's a big brotherhood where you get all these kind of random stories. Like who knew Edo recruited The Rock?
Right.
Like you got all the, oh really? I didn't know that. Like you have these connections in this sport that's so different than almost any other. Like baseball has their connections and the NBA has theirs. But the NFL is just, it's more random to us because we don't follow the coaching trees as closely. We know the coaches, we know some of the coordinators, but we don't know all the ins and outs of who's on staffs. And so I'm always interested in finding out like the connection between this guy and that guy. The Stefanski-Sala thing, if you're using one game as a sample size, I think that's a bit ridiculous. Like Stefanski, I don't blame Cleveland for wanting to go offense. I don't know if Stefanski's the guy.
Sure.
But they got a quarterback who's going into his third year now who had a struggling year too. They need an offensive voice in there that's really going to try to develop and help Baker. Sala, I mean, that's the best news the Niners could have gotten all year outside of health. Their health is really good right now, is that Robert Sala will be back for one more season. He is for sure gone after next. And the matchup this weekend with LaFleur, remember, LaFleur's brother works for the Niners. He's their passing game coordinator. So
That's a whole nother angle.
You're always
too, yeah.
digging for any advantage and edge that you can get. And you just wonder how much does his brother know about the tendencies that Matt LaFleur gives or what he's looking for. Robert Sala did a damn good job the first time these two went against each other. You're just wondering, is there something different that they can look for that Matt LaFleur might try to adjust to from what they did in the last matchup?
Well, I mean, you even look at that game, too. They were banged up defensively in that game as well, and they still were able to dominate up front. Green Bay would tell you, well, look, we lost some offensive linemen, so I guess all things equal in the end. But a couple of great coaches, a great story on ESPN, if you want to go read it, just their backstories. I'm glad you brought up LaFleur's brother being on the 49ers staff. I totally forgot about that, too. There's all different webs that tie in this weekend. I will ask quickly, we're against it. We're going to get to Sprague in the line in a moment. I had a poll question today, and is it easy to answer? It should be, but I'm wondering if there's any hesitation on the coach you trust the most on Sunday. Is it easy, Andy Reid, or do the playoff demons scare you a little bit?
Ooh, the one you trust, that's a great point, because the other three,
they're all unproven. LaFleur's never been here, and Vrabel's never been here.
That's a very good thing.
Has his own demons as an offensive coordinator.
Wow, but he still got to a Super Bowl.
He got to a Super Bowl, but people would say, you know, run the football, you idiot.
Yeah.
So he's got his demons too. I just thought that because I was
Why
thinking to myself,
Billy, your hat, you
Reed's,
idiot.
Reed's the longest tenured guy, and he's well respected, and everybody loves him. But he has, I mean,
he's got
I think
conference
everybody
championship
has
demons.
Confidence.
He's got demons.
They'll have a great game plan put together, and they'll. The only thing is, okay, if it
gets thrown in your face, which one can adjust?
I think he can adjust. The fear with Reed is it's a tight game down the stretch, and will he mismanage the clock? Yeah. That's the fear with Reed.
He's got no timeouts left.
Well, you know what he does have. Patrick Mahomes.
Which helps. Always makes it easier.
Patrick Mahomey, and nobody else has that.
You
so.
See my new Mahomey over here?
No.
Okay. We've got poll questions on both those. Go vote at Turton Sprague at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. Let's do some gambling, shall we? AFC-NFC title game on Sunday. We can't wait for both of them. Our picks in the games are next. Get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the Fan text line. We'll rattle them off. We'll give some picks. We'll do it next.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Springing Live brought to you by Odell Beckham Jr. Just tell your wife it's fake money you're flushing away. Not a bad theory.
I didn't tip that stripper. That's fake money.
Me? What are you talking about? I got into the Monopoly box. Springing Live brought to you by what's harder to do, win some money with Sprague's Picks, or pronouncing the name Klingler.
Clink. I'd much rather us be a Peter Mutter Cup play. Klingler. Klingler.
Springing Live brought to you by illiteracy.
What happens if I can read it? I can't say it.
Sign it out now. Sprague and Live brought to you by Snowpocalypse 2020. A lot of hype and almost no results. Just like a Sprague pick.
We couldn't go sledding.
Sprague and Live brought to you by Beast Mode Chicken Sandwiches. Take care of your chicken.
You see him selling shirts on that?
I saw that. Yeah, that was cool.
I love that the guy giving advice to not waste your money, take care of your money, is then pouncing and hoping people right. spend their money on right. him.
Sprague and Live brought to you by Sprague's After Work Routine. The only surefire bet is Sprague can get right is him betting on his bathroom actions after work.
This is a good point.
That's coming full circle from earlier this week. Sprague and Live brought to you by Diego the Turtle. Unlike the bedroom, Sprague can actually get lucky on betting on Diego's percentage of fathering another baby turtle. Sprague and Live brought to you by Rosetta Stone UFC Edition, teaching sports noobs how to pronounce Cerrone.
Birth kit Skimpa. Look, I admit, Cerrone.
Would you think it was like Rick Cerrone's kid or something, former Yankee catcher?
No. What happened was, I've been interested in this fight for 2 weeks.
I just call him the Cowboy.
I have heard on ESPN them call him Cerrone. Every time I read it, though, I still think of Cerrone from Major League. He spells it the same way.
Serrano?
Oh, yeah.
That's Pedro Serrano.
See, look, you interrupted my whole spiel, and my spiel was to tell you guys I got a lot of faults as a human. One of my big ones is names.
I was thinking to myself, what character is that in Major League?
I'm really bad
with
names.
There was an actual catcher in the Major Leagues named Rick Cerrone.
Okay.
Who spelled it the same way.
Okay, why are you yelling at me right now?
You're just frustrating the hell out of me right now.
Oh, because I'm bad with names?
Hats yes. Full bats. Spring and Lime brought to you by Diego.
Go spell drum, you jerk.
Brought to you by Diego the Tortoise. He's seen more greenbacks than Sprague will ever make.
Wow. Look, we've just set this up.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Two more here.
Devastating.
Spring and Lime brought to you by Odell Beckham. He didn't give away nearly as much money to players as Sprague has given to his bookie this year. And Spring and Lime brought to you by Les Schwab, not betting Sprague's picks since 1952 because doing the right thing matters. On point today, folks. On point today.
You guys were really good. I've given you great material here, but you guys are really capitalizing.
Okay, here's where we were last week. Now, your picks are just kind of getting counted as producer picks, Weigard. You so far in the postseason.
Your schedule's been a little different.
You got a basketball season now. You haven't made any NFL picks
yet. I'll be gone
next
Friday, too. So.
Well, that's all right. It won't be a Super Bowl at least next week, so you'll be here.
Now we got the Pro Bowl to bet on.
Oh, God.
The MVP.
No, thanks. Okay, so the producer chair back-to-back weeks has gone 2-2. Joe Fish last week got Kansas City and Green Bay right. He missed Minnesota and Baltimore.
Yeah.
I opened with a thrilling 3-1 start in wildcard weekend to follow it up with a 1-3 start. So we're right back to to 500 at 4-4 on the year. And Sprager winner of the week, 4-0 last week. You hit all four. San Francisco, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Green Bay. Although I would like to note if Marshawn Lynch knows how to pick up a blitz, Seattle covers that spread because they would have had a 2-point conversion and lost by 3.
Jair Alexander just destroyed Russell on the 2-point play.
That was such a big 2-point play.
Mind your mentals.
He needed to protect his damn chicken on that play, and he didn't do it.
Well, he got his chicken, and now he's leaving.
It's chicken. So, Sprager, you
get to that kid.
He's there.
I like fried chicken.
It's chicken. Okay, so Sprager, you 4-0 last week. The floor is yours. AFC, NFC, go wherever you want.
I'll start in the AFC. Look, I said this in the first hour, but this has been one I've gone back and forth with, and I understand all the reasoning. These NFL reporters that are writing up numbers and crunching everything and telling you why Tennessee's the upset pick or why Kansas City should be in the Super Bowl, they all sound great. We're gambling. And sometimes in gambling, you get stuck in a really difficult position where you're not convinced one side or the other. I just go with your trust your gut. My gut says the books right now have an over-under of 106 on the ground for Derrick Henry. That's a very low number to be betting over-under on. That makes me believe they think Kansas City somehow, some way, is going to either go up early and take away the running option from Derrick Henry 7 to 8 more times than what he had against Baltimore. I think Patrick Mahomes is in a zone right now. Dude came back from 24-0 like it was 7-0, 7 touchdowns. I just trust him. He was a stud last year, by the way, in the second half of that game against New England.
He was after a slow start.
They just got stymied in the first. I think Mahomes has that experience. Give me Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at -7.5. This weekend.
Swag, I'll let you go. Before you make your pick, a quick heads up. On the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, it is -7 right now.
I'll take Kansas City at 7.
Just for reference, Kansas City -7. You're up AFC title.
I think Kansas City, we know once they get it dialed up, the second quarters are just amazing once the Chiefs have a chance to see what other teams are going to throw at them. Hopefully they won't have the nervous jitters they had where receivers couldn't hold on to the ball there. But the first half line is Chiefs -4. I will lay those 4 points in the first half.
I like that play, Swigard.
We'll see how things progress. But I think once Kansas City has a couple of drives to figure out exactly what the Titans are doing, Patrick Mahomes will be able to adjust and know where he can go and hit some big plays.
Okay, I like that line, -4 as well. Yeah, the Kansas City thing last week was one of the crazier things we've seen in a long, I mean, just to be down 24-0 and go on a 51-7 run, it was mind-boggling how quickly that game flipped. But what left me confident was knowing that Kansas City was down 24-0 all because of their own doing. It wasn't anything that Houston was doing that was throwing them off. They just couldn't catch the damn football. They couldn't catch punts. They got a punt block. Like, it was all mental and self-inflicted wounds. And once they figured that out, they went on a run and they couldn't be stopped. I think Kansas City learned a pretty big lesson last week of like, hey, there's your snap to reality. We got to get off to a better start. Once they woke up, they couldn't be stopped. I've been doubling down on Tennessee all year, gambling against them. The only time I took them to win, I actually did win because I took them against New England a couple weeks ago. But I tweeted it last Sunday. I have lost more money on a team than any on Tennessee than any other team this year in the league, and I'm doing it again. I'm taking Kansas City minus the 7. I don't see how Ryan Tannehill, if he needs to, throws them into this into the Super Bowl. Give me the Chiefs minus 7.
Are we mentally ready to say Ryan Tannehill, no. Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Nope, we are not.
Okay.
Nope, we are not. Who would be the better starting quarterback to win a Super Bowl, Nick Foles or Ryan Tannehill?
Foles.
Tannehill.
You answered that really quickly.
Tannehill.
Because Foles, outside of 2.5 years, hasn't done squat.
Tannehill was a higher draft pick, wasn't he?
Well, that doesn't count for anything.
Well, I mean,
Mariota was a higher draft pick than Tannehill.
Yeah, yeah, but comparing Foles and Tannehill, like if they both have a Super Bowl.
So Tannehill wins it this year.
Yeah, I would say Tannehill because he was projected to be a franchise quarterback, Super Bowl winning guy.
Okay.
When was Foles drafted?
Foles was like a second or third round pick.
Okay,
he was a
later
pick out of Arizona.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. He was originally a backup for Philly, and then Vic got hurt.
Hard to beat the nickname, though. Big.
That is tough.
Big blank Nick.
A quick look at the line, though, by the way, before you pick the NFC game. Right now on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, San Francisco favored by 7.5 over Green Bay.
Yeah, this is one that, look, I think everybody has the rooting interest in this one. I know I do. But Green Bay going to San Francisco, just traditionally in my mind, there's a little bit of a house of horrors there for San Francisco. And I know they have some great moments. T.O., game-winning play against Green Bay there.
You got whorehouses on the mind.
Yeah, absolutely. You obviously had thumped Green Bay earlier this season. You had the Kaepernick game where he ran all over him at home and the foghorn going off.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But there's something uneasy about Green Bay. I can't explain it outside of just seeing Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre in the cheeseheads coming in. I think Green Bay is going to play much better than they did when they lost 37-8. I'd imagine their game plans are to get that ball out as quickly as possible, knowing how vulnerable their offensive line may be against the pass rush. So I think guys like Aaron Jones and Jimmy Graham are going to be even more valuable for them than they were last weekend when Graham had like two or three big catches against the Hawks. Jones made a couple plays, but not much. I'm just going to trust Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers to have an idea of how to hang around. And if it comes down to a point where they have to throw on San Francisco's end, where is the confidence for Niner fan with Jimmy G? I don't know if everybody's on the same level with that. So I'm going to take those points, and I will say this becomes a 5 or 4 point type game, maybe a field goal game, and Green Bay keeps this one super close.
Okay.
Making everybody in San Francisco sweat this one out. I'll take the Packers plus the 7.
Okay.
I'm going to the props for San Francisco. And I think if you go back and look at the Green Bay, when they met in the regular season, George Kittle was the difference. I think the Packers defense is going to be geared to make sure he doesn't get into wide open spots. Jimmy G has developed a little bit of a relationship to Kendrick Bourne of late. You can get plus 275 that Kendrick Bourne scores a touchdown.
Ooh.
And I think that's good value.
He's Jimmy Bourne G's go-to guy, man, in the red zone.
275 for a touchdown. Okay, okay.
I dug deep for you today.
You were digging deep. I like that, Swagger. Well done. Yeah, we've just been kind of rattling through the games the last couple of weeks. I've gone back and forth on this one all week. I really have. I gambled against San Francisco last week, and they made me feel like a damn fool as that game went on because Minnesota, outside of getting that pick and kicking a field goal at the end of the half, never really felt like they were in it. They couldn't get anything going offensively. The Jimmy Garoppolo thing is there. I do fear that. The Smith Bros on the edge for Green Bay, I think, are better than I think they have what it takes to slow down San Francisco's offense. Here's what scares me, though. There is a stat that just blew me away, and I want to pull this up if I can find it again. But it was something along the lines of when Ford and Bosa are on the field at the same time, which Ford's been banged up this year, so it hasn't always happened. Their sack rate defensively is at like 18%. The NFL average is 5.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, that blew. When I saw that stat, I want to make sure I got my percentages right here. So when the 49ers have recorded a sack on 17.3% of dropbacks when both Nick Bosa and D Ford are on the field, just 5.7 when either of them are off. The NFL average is 6.5. So both teams can get after the quarterback. But Ford's back. Bosa looked good last week. Like, that tandem terrifies me. Green Bay has one guy to go to. Now, they do a good job of moving him around and finding the matchups and putting him spots to capitalize. But there's only so many times you can do that in a game. Eventually, somebody else has to step up with big-time performances, and I just don't trust any of their other targets. Jimmy Graham made one big play last week, but I just don't trust him consistently. If San Francisco can slow down Jones in the running game, put this all on Rodgers, and get after him in third and second and long situations, I just don't see Green Bay scoring a lot lot of points. They had a great game plan in the first half last week, and then in the second half, they only scored one touchdown, and Seattle kind of figured them out and slowed them down a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but backdoor touchdown, Niners win by 10. I'm taking the favorite. Give me San Francisco.
There you go.
Minus the 7.5. We got any other final? You want to do one more pick at all, or are we just good with two?
I'm good with two.
Fade the Blazers, Mavericks minus 7.
Fade the Blazers, always a good strategy.
Yeah, I would fade the Blazers tonight, too. That was a really good win in Houston, and Dallas is playing without KP tonight, who they're starting to try to wonder how to handle him, but I think Dallas is going to be able to get that one.
Okay, Sprague and Lime brought to you by What's Orange and Sounds Like a Parrot, a Carrot. That joke was still better than a Sprague pick. Sprague and Lime brought to you by Conor McGregor's Whiskey. Can't be worse than a Sprague pick.
Oh, hey.
Sprague and Lime brought to you by Bill O'Brien, providing the worst game plan of betting picks. Anything else here? Sprague and Lime brought to you by the Astros. Having a trash can around is useful when you need to throw these picks away.
Hey.
And we have our listener who's letting his money ride. Now, he won $100 in the wildcard weekend. We told him let it ride on Kansas City last week.
Hell yeah.
And we felt terrified that we lost our listener $100 because he took our advice.
I didn't.
They came back. They covered. He's asking again. He's got $200 now.
Thanks to the comeback.
I'm assuming he, she, whoever it is.
God, you're so sexist.
They have $200 now, and they want to let it ride again.
Who do they want to let it ride on?
Asking for advice.
Oh.
Who should you let it ride on? 55305. We'll read the poll questions, wrap up the week, get you set for the weekend next on The Fam. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every Friday. It's been a fun one today.
By the way, if you made that bet on fading the Blazers, this just came out. Dame is questionable. He's got respiratory illness.
Ooh.
Sounds like CJ gave him what he had.
Uh-oh, he's got the crud, huh?
Uh-huh.
He's got the crud.
Think about it.
Yeah, I'm for sure. I have lost back-to-back bets against the Blazers, so they got me a little pissed. I'm going to take Dallas tonight.
Well, if you don't make the bet now, they're probably going to take it off the board, readjust it, and get screwed.
That's true. I got to hurry up. By the way, Marty is the name of the listener. That was texting.
Marty.
We got Marty in. He wants to know, let's put our collective heads together. So he won $100 in the first week. I think it was on Seattle, Philly, I think was his first win.
Okay.
And then he asked us, who should I let my $100 ride on? And we told him Kansas City's locked, man. They're going to dominate Houston. And that ended up being the widest margin of the weekend. A little scary at first, but 51-7 run helps cover a 10-point spread. So he's up to $200 now, thanks to Kansas City's comeback. He wants to know where to let it ride. So what bet are we most confident in this weekend? Not going to answer.
Most confident. What wins in cold weather climate? Running the ball and playing defense. Tennessee does that well. I'm going off Patrick Mahomes. My pick is the
Chiefs. It's got to be Kansas City, right? But here's what I would do, though.
It's got to be. The Packers played their worst game of the year against the Niners.
Come on. Here's what you got to do. You got to buy the spread down to be safe to protect your ass.
Don't be a coward.
Yeah, take the Titans money line.
Bet this straight up. Don't buy points.
Because it's 7. You don't want that push situation.
He didn't buy points last week. It was at 10.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Those numbers scare me. And you could go in and get 6.5. Very similar odds to get 6.5 instead of 7. You're not losing that much money for a half a point. That's what if I were you, Marty McFly, that's what I would do. I would get it at 6.5 instead of 7.
We're renaming him.
Yeah.
Marty, we know you have a different last name, but McFly.
So yeah, if you want the Chiefs at 6.5, it's -145. Chiefs at 6, -165.
Okay. What's it at Chiefs -7?
That's the -116 right now.
Okay. So you lose a little bit.
You could
of money.
Go monster spread if you really want to be.
You go Chiefs,
killing your
Chiefs
odds.
-19.5.
No,
it'll
or you go
up
the
to
other
12
way.
And a half.
It's a 13-point monster spread on their app, so you could take the Titans, for example, up to 13.5, which that's dangerous in itself. And then you take the Packers up, or no, it'd be 20.5.
Wow.
And then you take the Packers, you could take them to 20. So if you think the Niners and the Chiefs went great, if you don't think they're going to get blown out,
yeah.
You could easily have both those teams at +20. Now, your odds of winning of what you get back is not as great, but...
By the way, we have a bunch of listeners texting in right now saying that they have already pulled the Blazer line. It's off.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's off.
It just got suspended.
It's out of there. Damn it. What's the new line going to be?
It's going to be like 12.
I still might take it. What the hell?
12?
What the hell?
That's
CJ leading them to a win in Dallas. You kidding me? He won't pass.
It's as if the lottery was listening.
They were tuning in, man. What's up, lottery? How you guys doing? That's my gambling advice. But hey, it's $200 your own money, so you got to do what you want to do.
I still think that Chiefs -4 in the first half.
You like the first half line?
I like that. He's right. The second half. Remember the Raider game? He threw 4 touchdowns
in the second quarter.
Second quarter.
A little bit of a different animal. than the Oakland Raiders.
The Raiders, Titans.
What is the weather forecast?
It's
the weather forecast.
It's 24 degrees and sunny.
Oh, okay.
No
but
snow.
It'll be clear.
There's no mud. There's no slop. Here's what I would say, though, about the first half line that scares me is I feel like Tennessee will be able to play their style in the first half unless they give up a couple of touchdowns right off the bat.
Yeah,
because you know they're going to come out in the first quarter and just go, let's 8-minute drive this SOB. Yeah,
if I'm
the
Chiefs and you win the toss, you take the ball and you
score. Yeah, they'll take the ball. The whole goal for the Chiefs in the first half is to get the lead and play from the front. Well, it's for both teams. But,
in this
game, playing with the lead allows you to dictate tempo. For both teams.
Yeah, it does. Good luck, man. Good luck, Marty. I hope you let that $200 bucks ride.
Where did we all coming down on the Chiefs? Is that basically our advice?
Well, he likes the first half line. I like buying a half point, getting them at 6.5 so they can win by a touchdown.
Mm.
Tennessee's going to bite us in the ass again. You know it's going to happen. I remember doing this last week.
They bite me in the ass last weekend.
I know. I'm just saying we all felt good about Baltimore winning the game. I think we were making our picks and stuff.
I did feel good about that part of it. I just thought it'd be like a touchdown or a little less.
Yeah.
Not lose by 16 points or whatever the hell they lost by.
Andy Reid always defers to the second half. I wonder if he changes his strategy, though, knowing what Tennessee wants to do. I know he always does, but wouldn't part of you just want to say, let's get the ball and go up 7-0 on them and just make them feel the burn a little bit?
Yeah, unless you think Spagnuolo, though, has a really good game design to say, look, we can get them 3-and-out. We're not going to let them have some long drive that kills the clock and go up 7-0.
All right, let me ask this question quickly as we're wrapping up the week. Games are on Sunday. What's our theme and our feeling on Monday if we come in and we're talking about a Tennessee-Green Bay Super Bowl?
I don't know. It's the Super Bowl.
I'm going to probably do this.
Well, yeah, because your Niners will...
Your Niners would have lost.
I don't have a dog in the fight.
No, stop. Regardless of San Francisco, that's not what we want.
No, you want Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Unless you're a unless you're a Titans fan, you want Mahomes.
Yeah, but
in
the Titans
Super Bowl.
Fans around here aren't real Titans fans. They're Mariota fans. And then they're going to be disappointed because they're going to have to wear their Mariota jersey as he's a backup to the team
You know what's going to be a really conflicting interest for me is if Tannehill goes down in the second quarter, all this rooting for Kansas City. I'm going to be like, there was a fan at the San Francisco Minnesota game. Did you see he was wearing a Vikings jersey and they got down 20-10, whatever it was. He took off his Vikings jersey and put on a 49er jersey. If Tannehill goes down, that's totally going to be me. I'm going to be speaking like a frog rooting for Mahomes. And if Tannehill goes down, let's go, Mariota, baby!
I know.
Poll questions quickly. Which coach do you trust the most? 47% of you say Andy Reid.
Tennessee's going to win purely out of spite for 1080.
They are, dude. They totally are.
It could happen.
Who wins the NFC title game? 78% of you take the 49ers. 74% of you take the Chiefs. What are you more interested in locally, men or women's college hoops? 67% of you said men.
Somebody says if Tennessee makes a Super Bowl, I'll be up skiing that day.
I'll be up skiing. What else is going on Sunday, February 4th? Is that the day? Oh, by the way, we didn't even do it today. Did you see the Sam Elliott Doritos ad?
What?
He's in a Doritos ad singing
Super Bowl
the
ad?
Super Bowl ad. They teased it, and he's singing the Cowboys in the Back, the song.
Cowboys in the Back?
I got my horse and a... What song am I... Mike, you know what I'm talking about.
Cowboys in the Back?
With Billy Ray Cyrus. What's the damn song?
Yeah, Old Town Road.
He speaks the words to Old Town Road in the commercial.
Cowboys in the Back?
Isn't that a part of the song? No? Okay.
I got my horses in...
Horses in the Back. Gotcha. Okay. I was thinking of Cowboy Cerrone this weekend. I'm going to run out of music. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the game.
I love you guys.
We'll talk to you Monday at noon. Hopefully not about a Green Bay, Tennessee Super Bowl. Number one's next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.